Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 29th of May, Anno Domini 2010, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to the Memorial Day edition of Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And we want to start right off by thanking all of the folks who have done so much and given so much for our country in the following years. Dave, thank you for your service. Shirley, thank you for your service. You're actually Steve.
I know Steve.
Yeah. I understand that. Yeah. But that's this weekend. So, all right, let us start with the news. If you're on the line, stay on the line. We'll get to you in just a couple of minutes, but we're going to start as we always do with the news. Three men are facing federal fraud charges for allegedly raking in more than $100 million while running an illegal scareware business that tricked victims into installing bogus software. Two of the men, Bjorn Sundin and Shailesh Kumar Jain, operated an antivirus company called Innovative Marketing, which sold products such as WinFixer Antivirus 2008, Malware Alarm, and Virus Remover 2008. The third man charged, James Reno, ran Byte Hosting Internet Services, the company that operated Innovative Marketing's call centers. The company's products generated so many consumer complaints that the FTC brought a civil action against Innovative Marketing and Byte Hosting in 2008, effectively putting them out of business. On Wednesday, a grand jury in Chicago handed down the criminal charges, meaning the three men now face jail time if convicted. Reno is expected to turn himself in for arraignment, the U.S. Justice, the U.S. Department of Justice said in a press release Thursday. Authorities believe that Jain and Sundin are living in the Ukraine and Sweden. In a September 2009 email to the IDG News Service, Reno said he was a young and naive businessman who was taken advantage of by Innovative Marketing. I made some mistakes, of course, he said.
You believe that? I got some swampland for you.
However, they kept us in the dark on a lot of their operation. According to prosecutors, Innovative Marketing set up fictitious advertising agencies, that would buy online inventory for media companies pretending to represent legitimate companies. They then pushed out ads with hidden computer code that generated scary-looking pop-up messages designed to look like operating system errors and antivirus scams. The result was always the same. To get rid of the pop-up warnings, users would have to buy Innovative Marketing's worthless software, prosecutors allege. Byte Hosting's call centers were then used to deflect complaints from victims who purchased Innovative Marketing software products, the Department of Justice said. The scheme convinced victims in more than 60 countries to buy the more than 1 million bogus programs, the Department of Justice said. So that leads us to our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That's Bytes with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. The question is, did you get caught by scareware? The choices are, I admit I did, nope, not sure, we Mac users never use antivirus, and penguins fear nothing. Nothing! So far, we've got 44 votes. The leader is nope, followed a distant second by penguins fear nothing, and an even more distant third by we Mac users never use antivirus. Now, I know that just clicking a button is not enough for you people. So when you're done with that, take a look at the little yellow box underneath the poll, and if you click on the link that says give us your opinion, it will take you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
Where you can enter your opinion on our opinion page. We've got five of them so far, and I'm looking forward to yours. Then come back and join us at soundbites.org as we continue to do whatever it actually is that we do.
Have we figured that out yet?
Right, no. And all you folks who are listening,
I just want to make sure.
Right.
You know, something's going to change on the board. I need to know.
You need to know that. And for all of you listeners who are listening live to the show, did you get caught? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. Just like Bernice did. Welcome, Bernice. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Brighton.
And what's your question?
Well, that's not exactly a question, but something happened strange to me the other day on my laptop. I have a Dell Inspiron laptop, and I've used it for about 5 years. But the other day, I must have hit some wrong combination of keys, and all of a sudden, I was working on a document. It turned 90 degrees to the right, so now it was horizontal instead of vertical, which was kind of annoying. And I couldn't figure out what I had done, so I couldn't undo it. And hitting the escape key, bench time, that didn't work. I finally decided I had to reboot. Did that. That still didn't work. It saved my settings, which I didn't want it to do.
Yeah, that's Anyhow. That's a feature of your video card.
But I did resolve it by my favorite thing, which I know you gurus don't like, and that's System Restore. I used System Restore, and I was back to normal.
Yeah, that...
But what I want to know is, I think it was a combination of one of those little blue keys and the blue function key or something.
Right, it's a feature of your video card, and you'd have to
flip
look...
it.
To, right, so it's and if you're running on a projector, for example, hanging from a ceiling, it needs to be upside down, things like that. So,
well,
so you need
photos too,
you need to go into your video card manual and look and see what those screen keys are, or you could also have gone into display properties and rotated it back to normal.
It's probably in one of these blue things. There's a blue function key in the left corner, but next to the control key. And
right, it depends on exactly
the
which...
top have different things on the...
Yeah, it
I
depends.
Never bothered to look them up. I guess I should, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you could have always gone into display properties and done it visually.
Yeah, in there you
the
can
commands.
Usually rotate it also.
Okay, well,
okay.
Glad to know what to do next time it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
thank you. And by the way, I do enjoy your show very much.
Thank you, yep. Bernice.
We appreciate like to
member.
Hear.
Excellent.
I'm seeing some...
I will support as long as you're on it, too, because that's... Really, I'm not too interested in jazz, but or polkas or
Jordan
programs. But
yep.
I really love your program, so I'll keep supporting it as long as you're on.
That's what we like to hear, Bernice.
I'm finding some things on the internet that a lot of Dell laptops use Control Alt and the arrow keys to rotate your screen.
Control Alt and what?
The arrow keys.
Arrow keys. Oh, okay.
So
well,
up, down,
you.
Left, or right. Yep.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thanks. I gotta say, that's what we love to hear is people who love our show.
Yeah, a lot of people will used to be a lot bigger in the olden days, where you'd have a portrait monitor that was a lot taller than it was wide,
right.
For dealing with word processors, and then you could rotate that monitor sideways, so you get landscape mode for dealing with spreadsheets and a lot of columns, and then you could rotate your screen image in your video card.
Right, and sometimes it happened automatically, and nowadays, of course, when people have tablet PCs, there's a lot of code put into the drivers specifically for that, but you're right, you can also hit a key combination that sends you there automatically.
You see that a lot in restaurants and museums and sports bars, where sometimes the TVs will be horizontal and sometimes will be vertical.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Depends on their level of drinking.
Right.
Well, that's when they're...
that's the one the people are horizontal or vertical. It's a whole different. They come in vertical, they leave horizontal. It's a different.
Right.
It's a different thing entirely. Our next caller is Mike. Where are you calling from, Mike?
I'm calling from Penfield.
And what can we do for you?
Okay, I bought my wife an Asus Triple E about a year and a half ago, so it's out of warranty. And a couple of months back, something happened, and it wouldn't read her mouse anymore. She would try to move the mouse around, and instead of moving, it would get the little T or the little plus sign, and she couldn't select anything.
Right.
I tried. I bought an external drive so I could. It doesn't have its own CD drive, so I bought an external drive so I could try to reboot it from the original disk. But that doesn't work because the mouse doesn't work, and I can't select anything. I got rid of. I have an external mouse. I have a mouse, the touchpad, and I also have a wireless mouse. And no matter what device I try to use, it doesn't want to do anything I ask it to do,
including the touchpad mouse.
Right, right. And I looked at. Tried to turn off the drivers for the other mice so that just the touchpad would work, but that doesn't work either. And it's not. To be clear, it works for a couple of minutes, and then all of a sudden it stops working. It's like it's not listening, or like I already selected something.
Any ideas? Yeah, a couple of ideas. The first thing I would do is remove all of the mice from the device manager, all of them, including the touchscreen, including everything, then reboot your computer. Yeah.
Okay.
What'll happen is it'll come back and say, oh, I found new hardware. And it will re-add your various mice. So start with all of them uninstalled. So it puts back the touchpad mouse first.
Okay. Now, how can I?
Now wait, I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet.
Go ahead.
All right. Here's the deal. When you do that, make sure before you do that, that you've got whatever you need in the way of drivers, and that usually they come on a disc with the computer. So make sure you have those.
Right, I have a disc that came with the computer.
And that should have the mouse driver on it.
Okay. What I was going to ask was, given that I can't use the mouse to make the selections, except sometimes, if I can't do it when I turn the computer back on, are there key combinations that would replace the mouse as a pointing device?
Yeah, there are.
Typically, your arrow keys move your selector up and down. The tab key switches between what you're selecting. So if there's multiple buttons in a dialog box, the tab key will move between each button. And you should see a little dotted marquee surrounding the button that's being selected. And then the return key actuates that button.
Oh, cool. Okay, great. Thank you very much. I don't know if it matters, but this has a Linux operating system on it.
Oh, yeah. Well, there now you now
that's
you've
a whole different showboat.
Maybe you should have started with that one.
Yeah, I should.
Yeah. So everything I already told you isn't going to work now.
Okay. So tell me.
So what you want to do is you want
to
get
call back in and we'll get to it next.
Yeah. Which version of Linux are you running?
Oh, I don't know.
It's the Acer. It's the Acer. What you want to do.
Oh, it's an ASUS.
Oh, right, it's the ASUS. All right. So it's basically the same idea, but you can actually have it easier now. What you want to do first, rather than reboot the machine and do it the way I said, what you want to do is let's see, ASUS. I need to look up ASUS and see which. Operating system they use before I can.
Yeah, I'd recognize it if you named one, but I just don't recall it, and I'm not at it right now.
It says Linux. It just says Linux operating system.
It's the same concept. You want to delete all the drivers and reload the driver, but it's a different implementation depending on which version of Linux you're using.
Okay.
It doesn't say here. It could be Ubuntu. It could be. I don't know, any one of a dozen.
I think it's the Ubuntu.
Okay. In any case, basically what you need to do now is you need to start the terminal, which you usually can do if you type Alt F2.
Great.
Right? You can open up, it says Run Application. And you type in anything, LS, for example. But before you hit Enter, type Alt-T, which selects Run in Terminal. Then hit Enter, and what that does... No, that's not going to do it. Wait, hold on a second. Hold on a second. That's not going to do it. You know what?
Take it somewhere.
No. We can't spend all this time chit-chatting. So that's not a problem. Email me, nick@asknick.com. Remind me what we're talking about and that you would talk to me on the show, and I'll get you the answer off the air.
That's great, Nick. I owe you a beer. Thanks a lot.
I'll take it. Thanks. Dark beer. I drink dark beer. Porters or stouts for preference.
So it's got to be a driver issue, but why wouldn't a new mouse with a new driver work? The drivers fighting each other?
There's something inherently wrong with the driver somewhere, and it may just be that the mouse driver has stopped working. It uses Zandros, and that does have hardware detection, just like a Windows machine does. When you put something in there, it detects it. It does do module loading and all of that other stuff. So it might be, if it works when you first plug it in and then stops, I wonder if it's overheating.
There was an issue on Macs. My swollen battery reminded me of this. The trackpad is right under the battery.
Right.
And or on top of the battery, depending on the orientation.
Yeah.
And there were problems with certain batteries where they would swell, and the chemistry inside them was all screwing up, and they would swell. And then that would cause the trackpad and mouse button to stop working because the battery is pushing up underneath it from the bottom.
Right, but that wouldn't necessarily...
It shouldn't stop an external mouse, but you know, try taking the battery out, see what happens.
Well,
take a look at your battery.
Right, but the it depends on where the battery is.
These are
the batteries on the back, but what I might also suggest is that it could simply be overheating, and one of the things they could simply do is that Mike could do. Mike, I'm sure, is still listening. Try letting it cool down, and then stick a fan on it. You know, just put a big fan on it and let it blow across it for a while and see if that fixes the problem. If it does, then that's a second set of issues that have to be dealt with, but at least we'll know more. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Otto Bruno, inviting you to a musical party this and every week on the Sunday Music Festa and the Otto Show. Our guests may include Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett, Bing Crosby, Rosemary Clooney, or who knows, maybe even Count Basie or Joe Williams, Bobby Darin. Lady Ella herself could stop by. It's a musical celebration every week on the Sunday Music Festa and the Otto Show. That's Sundays at 12 noon right here on Jazz 90.1.
Helping you with your computer questions for over 20 years. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Paralyzed Veterans of America salutes those who've served and given the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. Each day, we honor their memory through our work to expand freedom and independence for veterans with disabilities so they can fully live the lives they deserve. Through our new campaign, Mission Able, we're enlisting all Americans, citizens, communities, and companies to help us help veterans receive what they need most: care, benefits, and jobs.
Join our mission at mission-able.com, a public service from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members and Agape Physical Therapy, with locations in Brockport, Chi-Lai, Gates, and Webster. Agape Physical Therapy offers customized exercise programs for those who suffer with arthritis, back, knee, and neck pain. Each of Agape Physical Therapy's four locations stresses a group approach to treatment and is staffed with a doctor of physical therapy or a McKenzie specialist to ensure the most effective therapy. For more information about Agape Physical Therapy, you may call 637-0790 or visit agapephysicaltherapy.com.
If you dig swinging big bands, Jazz 90.1 has got an afternoon for you. Presenting the broadcast of the complete Jazz Heritage Series, featuring the United States Air Force's Airmen of Note Big Band, with guests New York Voices in the first hour, Joey DeFrancesco in the second hour, and Gary Smullyan in the third. No matter where you are, don't miss these outstanding jazz broadcasts.
Memorial Day, Monday, May 31st, from noon until 3 p.m., only on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Linda Wildman. Please join me middays, 10 to noon on Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. I'm just fixing code on the site, as a matter of fact. Oh, I hate it when I do that. All right.
What'd you do?
Just something fairly stupid.
Forgot a semicolon and screws up the rest of the code.
That's exactly what happened, as a matter of fact. Yes, I don't know why I did that, but I bet it's fixed now. I'd like to think it's fixed now. We'll find out in a minute. Before we get back to the phones, however, I think we finished with Mike, didn't we? We got everything that that we're going to talk about. It could be thermal because it's so many different devices. If he's got multiple, it's both the USB and the built-in trackpad. So it's probably something to do with the driver and or overheating. So if it's overheating, then Mike, try that and let me know when you email me. And if not, then we'll deal with the driver part of the problem. But in the meantime, we'll go on to our next caller. And that would be Don. Don, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Hilton.
Lovely Hilton, New York. And what can we do for you?
Well, I just broke down and bought myself a new computer after all the problems I've been having.
Congratulations.
And it's the Hewlett Packard, and it's a 4 CPU, 64, Windows 7 64. Now, I'm wondering, how do I set up my email with it? It doesn't have Outlook Express on it.
Right. You have to decide which email program you want to download and use. That was part of one of the lawsuits that the FTC, was it? Somebody filed against Microsoft for monopolistic tendencies. So you can decide if you want to use Windows Live Mail or Thunderbird or what else is there?
Claws.
Those are the two big.
Silfeed. Silfeed is Claws.
Yeah, those are the two big email programs that you can download.
Thunderbird and what's the other one?
Windows Live Mail, which basically replaces Outlook Express.
I see.
So instead of including one for you, they make you pick which one you want to use.
I see.
Annoyingly, there's no box that says that anywhere.
Right. But yeah, so you can pick what you like. A lot of people nowadays, of course, are moving to something along the lines of Gmail. But if you've got a bunch of mail already in another program, then it depends. If it's kept online, it'll still be there. If it was kept in the old computer, then it won't be there anymore.
I see. Well, I was wondering that. And the other thing is, how do I get to news accounts? I did try this Live Mail, but it's no setup for news accounts.
Most companies have discontinued news servers. It's one of the very old remnants of the internet, and there's very few companies doing it anymore.
Which is too bad, because there was a lot of cool stuff in
there. Yeah. Deja News was purchased by Google, and so they've sort of merged their Usenet into their regular news feed. So it's actually kind of hard to find Usenet news servers.
Right.
And almost impossible to find free ones.
On the other hand, if you do find one, Thunderbird will do news servers as well.
Okay. So
you could do both mail and news servers off of Thunderbird.
Okay.
And the new 3.0 Thunderbird is really kind of nifty.
Okay, so I'll try downloading Thunderbird then.
Yep. You might want to talk with your internet service provider.
Uh-huh.
Some of them only allow you to send mail through them. You can receive mail from any place, but you can only send out through them. So talk to them about how to set up the outgoing mail server.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. You mean you have the outgoing mail server. That's one thing I noticed when I was setting up I did receive some mail with that, but it doesn't show me how to set up outgoing mail.
Right, and that's why you need to talk to your internet service provider. Give their support line a call. They can tell you how to set up whatever your email program is for outgoing mail.
Okay, you mean even for Windows Hotmail or?
Well, that's web mail. So you look at that on the web. You don't use a program on your computer. You only use a web browser like Firefox or Internet Explorer
or Chrome.
Or Chrome, or Safari, or Opera. Or
yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of web browsers out there.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm a little bit confused.
Okay.
What is your email address? Who is giving you email?
Well, I've been getting my email through People PC.
Okay. Who is your internet service provider?
Clearwire.
Okay. You probably need to I don't know Clearwire well, but I talk to the support people at Clearwire. Tell them what email program you're using and ask them how to set up outgoing mail.
Okay.
That's really all you need to do, because I can't answer the questions about it because I don't use
less,
Clearwire.
Less than
I
new people
know
PC
how I
used
set
its
it
own
up
program.
Under Outlook Express, but with the new with the
right, Windows 7 does not have a mail client,
yeah.
So you cannot set
yeah,
up email.
They have what they call a live mail messenger.
Yeah.
That's messaging. That's not mail.
Okay.
Not quite the same thing. So the best bet.
Which they do have live mail, which is different than live messenger.
Okay. With live mail, I guess I did have that set up with live mail.
Yeah, Windows Live Mail
yeah,
is a program
I'm
that
able
you download.
To get receive mail, but I didn't see any setup procedure for outgoing mail on live mail.
Really, honestly, I can't say this any other way. You need to call the support people at Clearwire. They will tell you how to set it up.
Okay, very good.
We can't do that for you. I don't do Clear Mail. I apologize.
Yeah, we don't know how they set up their service.
I apologize. You'll have to call them.
That's one of the few that I don't know offhand. I know the major ones.
Well, yeah. Good for you.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, because we have our customers calling the same way. How do I set up my Frontier mail?
Right,
okay.
Right. And I can help you with Frontier
and whatever.
And,
I
can't help you with Clearwire. I just don't know Clearwire. I'd love to know Clearwire. Clearwire is an interesting product, really. And they're talking about expanding their service here in the Monroe County area. So basically, it's a wireless internet connection. And you have either some sort of dongle for your laptop or a separate box you can set up, and you get it's essentially wireless service, no matter where you are. But they're not as I have never used them, and it's not I'm sure they're a lovely product. I just haven't used them. All right, our next caller.
Somebody's your name, please.
Is Gary? But you have to hold on a second. I caught Dave. All right, Gary, are you there?
Yes, sir.
What's your question? Where are you calling from?
Rochester.
And what's your question?
Well, before I start, I just want to let you know I was actually a school representative for WGMC from Greece Olympia back in 73 when it went on the air.
Well, how cool are you?
Congrats. Yeah.
No, I was just sitting in the AV room doing my homework, and the electronics teacher come over, and he says, I need a volunteer. And he says,
and you're it.
You're not doing anything. And I didn't even put my hand up. Next thing I know, I was over on the...
I don't know of any organization on the face of the earth where volunteering actually
volunteering
means what you
is
think
something
it
you
does.
Never do, especially even in the military.
I hear you. But, gentlemen, what I got a problem with, I got a Seagate hard drive.
Yep.
Replaced it out of my PC. It went bad. But it is recoverable. I bought a Kingswind converter to a USB port. And I have it hooked up. And the power light is lit up. It does recognize it as a removable disk with the e-print in the parentheses as another drive because I do have a external hard drive hooked up and, of course, the local disk. So what's going on is it won't open. I can't get into it. Is it because I'm not powering it up? Am I assuming that this little block that goes into the multi-pin connector in the back of the hard drive, is that powering the drive as well?
There should be two connectors, one for power, one for data.
Okay, so I don't have the power drive hooked up, and it'll probably be the solution.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
And you're...
What size hard drive was this?
Their manual doesn't show connecting the power for a 2.5-inch IED hard drive.
Wait a minute. This is, oh.
Well, sometimes there's two separate connectors on the drive itself, but
the
sometimes...
If this is a laptop drive, normally the connector has the power built into it.
Okay, it's not a laptop.
Okay, is it IDE, parallel ATE, ATA, or serial ATA?
IDE.
They're both the IDE. Is it parallel ATA or serial ATA?
No, that's the question. You know, there's a jumper on the back of it, and looking at it as a master.
Does it have 40 individual pins on it, or does it have two edge connectors on it?
I would believe that's about 40 in two lines. It's the long.
Okay, yeah,
line.
40 individual pins. That's a parallel ATA drive.
Okay.
And is it 2.5-inch or 3.5-inch?
2.5-inch.
Okay. 2.5 inch. Power is included in those 40 pins.
Yeah. Okay, so because it does have a blue light saying power, so I'm assuming that it's powering it up
right
through the pins.
Now, the problem is the sometimes those chassis cables aren't keyed properly. If you look at the drive, one of the pins is missing in the middle, and you may have the cable on upside down. If there isn't a matching key on the cable itself.
Right. No, there's a... one row is completely a bunch of pins, and the other row's got a blocked out, and that's how you line it up.
Okay.
Yep.
You know, so I've got it connected properly into the back of it, but I don't have the power. You know, there's four more pins on the right side that are bigger pins that are
that's the
mess. Power.
That's the master slave jumpers.
No.
Right. No. No.
On
no.
a 2.5 inch drive, the four pins that are
set aside are for
2.5 inch drive.
Right. Those are the master slave jumpers.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's four bigger pins to the right of that. That's the power.
No, on a 2.5 inch drive, power is contained in those 40 pins.
3.5 inch drive, and it's. I'm using the.
I believe that he's got a larger drive than he thinks he does.
I have.
Choosing the other way around.
Let me restart just one second.
I was waiting. I'll be the straight man if I have to be.
So if it's a 4-pin Molex connector, 4 pins separated from the 40-pin data connector.
Yes, but in between those, there's 8 little pins that are
okay.
Used
those
to set the
right. Those are the master slave jumpers.
Master,
yeah. So it sounds like that is a 3.5 inch drive, and you do need to have a power 4-pin Molex power connector plugged into that.
Okay.
Right, and then what you're seeing is the power to the case.
Right.
Not
okay.
the power to the drive.
Okay.
So there you go.
What about, what setting should the hard drive itself be on, master or slave? I mean, I took off the jumper.
That depends on the case, but a lot of times single drive works because that is the only drive connected to the chain.
Right.
So and that would be the pin, I should put the jumper back on?
It depends on the drive. Every drive is different. If you're lucky, it's marked on the drive, which is master, slave, and cable select.
Right, right. This was confusing.
And the documentation that came with the box should tell you which way that should go.
Okay, well, right. I don't have that, unfortunately. I'd have to go online probably and hunt into their website. But the only thing I was thinking is master. See, what's confusing is in this box, and it says all the way to the left, to put the jumper on, it's master, and then there's a dot and it says on, and then underneath it, it says slave dot off. So I'm confused as how are they turning that on and off? By taking that off, it's turned into a slave?
Right. If you put the jumper on master, it's a master.
Okay.
And then you can either put the jumper on slave, which is on, or the next one over probably means single driver cable select, which would
cable
be slave
select.
Off.
Cable select, because
the
final one. They don't use the third one, and the final one over to the right says limits drive capacity to 32 gigs.
Right.
So
try master first. Listen, it's easy enough to do. Try master.
Yep.
If it works, it works. If it doesn't, try the next one.
Okay.
It's really the best way to do it.
All right.
Okie doke.
Thank you.
But the first big trick is getting power to the drive.
Yeah, that. I think we've semi-solved that already, but that's the hard part. When you buy one of these things like that.
It should have had the data connector and the power connector in the same chassis, connected to the circuit board in that chassis.
Right.
Should have.
Absolutely should have. Yupper.
If you're going to use a hard drive in a chassis, it needs both those cables.
Yep.
That would help. See, that's right up there with the guy going through the whole story and then saying, oh, wait a minute, I forgot to tell you, it's Linux?
Yeah, right.
That's one of the nice
things. Oh, jeez, Louise.
That's one of the nice things about the serial ATA drives. Both 2.5-inch and 3.5-inch use exactly the same cables, which is really handy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're edge connectors. They're not pins that bend really easy. So it's really easy to slide the cables on. And there's some really cool diagnostic docks that that we use when we're testing drives. You just slide a raw drive down into the dock, and now it becomes a USB drive.
There you go.
And it's really pretty slick that way. In fact, a lot of the computers these days don't have cables for the hard drive in the computer. When you slide the hard drive into the bay, it mates with the edge connector in that bay, and it cuts down on a lot of the cable clutter.
All right. Really?
Before we go to break, yeah.
Only a minute? All right, in that case, I got a bone to pick with you, young fella.
What did I do now? Remember, I control
you. You did a wonderful job. You and your team did a wonderful job replacing my wife's dead hard drive this week. But you sent it back with the signature Enright thing. The Enright signature is on my machine. That is to say, there's no hard drive light. I don't believe you have ever built a machine for me where the hard drive light worked. And now it includes my wife's machine. Is there a religious reason that you don't put the hard drive lights up?
A lot of drives don't have them anymore.
Yeah, a lot of them don't have it. All I did was hook up that drive. There's nothing. There is no light to hook up to that. You just plug. It's a SATA hard drive. It's a 2.5 SATA. So you just hook up the two connectors. Yeah. There is no other connector that I hook up to it.
The hard drive light is built into the motherboard to recognize when the hard drive is being used.
Yeah.
And a lot of motherboards.
I did not touch anything.
It used to. It did before I sent it to him. The old hard drive worked.
Can't you hear it?
I didn't have any of the original.
It's a light. Listen.
Yeah, but again, I did not have any.
That's why the old one died. We could hear it.
But I didn't have any of the old software to reinstall on that. I couldn't even tell you what machine that was.
Yeah, right. All right. I just
the birds love you though.
I bet they do.
Because when I blew that thing out.
Dust everywhere.
Oh, well, that's typical. I mean, and like we've talked, and people don't realize, especially right now, it's springtime. You got to take that computer outside, and if you can, just blow it out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there is a lot of dust in that stuff that has built up over the winter
months.
Well,
it's a couple of different things. One is the fact that we are an old house, and the second thing is we have two very large dogs and two very large cats, and stuff happens, you know? That's just the way that works. I don't know what else to say about it. All right, we're going to take a break, drive lightless or not. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 apparel is available online. Whether it's a long or short sleeve t-shirt, half zip fleece, hooded sweatshirt, or baseball cap that you're looking for, you'll find it at the Jazz 90.1 online store at jazz901.org.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
America's longest running computer show, Sound Bites, the answer to your computer questions on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Listeners who listen on a regular basis may want to support Jazz 90.1 that way too. If your budget is organized around monthly expenses, it may be more convenient to support Jazz 90.1 monthly as well. For example, a pledge of $10 a month would mean $120 a year in support. The payment amount you choose is automatically made each month directly from your credit or debit card. You can stop the monthly payment at any time, and we confirm each payment by email. For more information about the Jazz 90.1 monthly gift option, call 966-2660 or visit us online at www.jazz901.org. With the monthly gift option, it's easier than ever for you to become a member of Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is your one source of information for the annual Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival, June 11th through 19th. Join Jazz 90.1 as we broadcast live each day from Jazz Street in downtown Rochester, just outside of Kilbourne Hall, between 5 and 9 p.m.
And we are live in downtown Rochester at the Rochester International Jazz Festival. I'm Rob Linton.
We'll have live artist interviews, giveaways, commentary, and much more. Jazz 90.1's Rob Linton, Derek Lucas, and Ed Trefsker bring you the most in-depth coverage of the RIJF each year, live from Jazz Street.
I'd like to ask Mr. Harold Danko to stop on over.
My name is Donto James.
Donto James.
You can also stop by the Jazz 90.1 booth to meet air personalities from your favorite Jazz 90.1 programs and register to win great prizes.
We're inviting folks to stop by. We have somebody who stopped by to become a member. We've had folks dropping in dollars to the Jazz Jar.
We'll see you on Jazz Street.
The Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America has important information for people with asthma. You know that asthma symptoms can really slow you down. What you may not know is that there are two main causes of asthma symptoms: airway constriction, which you feel, and inflammation, which you may not feel. Most medicines only treat one cause, which can be why symptoms return. At asthma.com, you'll learn more about the two main causes of asthma symptoms. You'll learn how to work with your doctor to better manage your asthma. And you'll learn how treating both main causes of asthma symptoms can help prevent symptoms before they even start. And preventing asthma symptoms should be your treatment goal. For more information and resources about the two main causes of asthma symptoms, go to asthma.com. This message brought to you by the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, with funding and editorial support by GlaxoSmithKline.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Highland Concert Series, presenting Bluegrass in the Bowl with Alison Krauss and Union Station, featuring Jerry Douglas, the Tony Rice Unit, Ralph Stanley and his Clinch Mountain Boys, Larry Sparks and the Lonesome Ramblers, and Dale Ann Bradley, Saturday, June 5th at Highland Bowl. Gates open at 12:30 p.m. For more information, you may visit rochesterevents.com or call 473-4482.
Hey, this is Derek Lucas, host of The Spectrum. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Actually, we're Soundbites no matter what the time is.
But we're going to even be better Soundbites next week.
We are going to be better Soundbites next week. Not only will we
have... We'll be celebrating 1 year.
We'll be celebrating a year here at Jazz 90.1.
We're going to have some special guests.
We're going to have some special guests from out of town. And equally importantly, we'll have Rumballs. Perhaps
yep.
Even more importantly, we'll have Rumballs. So for those of you
don't
who...
Don't tell Rob.
So please, those of you who normally tape the show, don't next week. We don't want to get involved.
No, I plan on making those up, Tuesday night. Get those at least into the refrigerator by Tuesday, Wednesday... Start rolling them, then that way they can ferment Thursday and Friday, and then as long as the alcohol content doesn't knock me over in the vehicle, getting here Saturday and see what's left.
You got to make like a triple batch because you've got company over the weekend.
Yeah, I got company coming over, plus I still got to send some back to the rat,
or
I'll never hear the end of that, and to my friend Wyoming.
But here's the real question. You may send them back, but will they get back?
Hey, all I can do is... I can just make them and send them. If they or don't get there...
That's not your problem.
Now, there's an open container law, but is there a open rum ball law?
It's not a liquid, at least not externally.
Yeah.
But they are potent.
They are potent.
Oh, the last batch that I did up...
They are potent.
Just a little while ago. I mean, because I've been taking a saline solution now that has cleared my sinuses out better than any medicine can.
Neti pot? Who doesn't love the neti pot?
Oh, and I sit there and I open stuff up now and it's like, whoa, holy.
Yeah, right.
I am more sensitive to stuff now, even smoke and everything else, even more so. And I mean, that's what still boggles my mind for years now. And I mean this truly, folks, for over 10 years, I've suffered with this sort of sinus clog, whatever. But I did that saline solution and holy macro.
Yeah, it's great
breathe
stuff.
Breathe again.
Stuff. Right now, I was saying this earlier, my sinuses are sweating. Between my eyes and down the sides of my nose from the cottonwood. It happens to me all the time. It happens to me every year. And we went to see Iron Man the other day, and it looked like I was crying because I kept having to wipe the sweat away, you know? And it was like, oh, yeah, so they're killing clones. It's so sad.
I got a better one for
drones,
you.
Rather.
I was out on the bike.
Yeah.
Going to a client and coming home that evening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Going through. Yeah. I had a patch that was really heavy in that white cotton. And I was breathing in. And you can't open with your mouth, so you got to breathe through your nose. And you're getting those things sucked up your nose.
Yep. Been
and
there.
Like,
done
oh.
that. Yep. So, I literally
had to pull over one point and sneeze because they had gotten up my nose.
Sometimes I neti pot two or three times a day because it just – the other day I was sitting at the computer and I turned my head and the inside went slower. Because it was full and so Rumballs fail. Jim says Rumballs for rat fail. Chances are they will not make it back.
That's why I got to ship them out separately. I'll send a separate shipment to the rat and down to my friend Wyoon.
That's how you have to do
yeah.
it.
That's the only way I'm going to protect my butt, because otherwise those two.
All right, our next caller is John. Where are you calling from, John?
Hi, guys. Calling from Rockville, Maryland.
Rock where,
Whoa.
Maryland? Rockville?
Yeah. Rockville, Maryland, right out of D.C.
Welcome to the U.S.
How cool are you?
Actually, Bernice is my grandmother. She recently just referred me to the show, and I'm glad she did. There's a lot of good information on here.
Well, how cool is that?
You yeah. know what? You know what you got to do, though? Just got to tell a few friends.
That's right. I will. I definitely will.
Super.
And I can relate to that story about hitting the patch. I ride a Harley myself, and going into Rochester, I've definitely hit a patch of at least dozens of bugs in the face.
Oh. Those are the worst, especially the big June bugs in there. Oh, I've had them hit me in the face.
That's why I know so many bikers now who wear full face helmets.
Well, that's why I'm glad I got the windshield and you don't smile a lot.
Yeah, right.
Just keep your head down.
Yep.
You got
what can
it.
We do for you, John?
Well, I just had a few comments and a question. So the comments, really, I just actually was building a new PC. I sprung for the AMD quad core. And while I was building it, I made a few mistakes. Just to get a few war stories. You know, tried putting the CPU into the motherboard without having lifted the clamp first.
Ouch!
And trying to put the heatsink on there, and I heard a crack. I was like, okay, that can't be good.
Yeah, really?
Pulled the motherboard up, and the CPU dropped right on the pins, bent like 15 of the pins.
Ouch.
And I figured my investment was gone at that point, but there was a good article out in the net saying just take a little credit card, slide it up and down the road,
mm-hmm.
and pin straightened right back up. And I was able to boot Windows 7 eventually, which was good.
And hope they don't break off when you're doing that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh, you got,
well, but at the very least, all you can do is try, right?
Yeah, and you just got to take due patience and just slowly go up and down each row, because I've done that too.
Mm-hmm. So finally got Windows 7 on there, and so the first comment was, I know a gentleman who called in about Outlook Express, and I'm not sure if he's still listening, but I actually was able to get it running up. Windows 7 comes bundled with the Windows Virtual PC, and you can install the XP mode within the Virtual PC. I think it's all free once you bought the Windows 7, and then they got Outlook Express and the Windows XP mode in there.
Right, all right.
So I use that. And actually, one of the reasons I bought the PC was because my Asus ePC, if you'll believe it, the mouse stopped working on that.
And see, just like Mike.
And I read on their support forum that it might even be a manufacturer's defect, because there's so many people where after a certain period of time it'll just lock up. And so I just said, you know, the heck with it. Let me build a new one. Plus, I got the dual monitors now, so it's even better. But
I love dual. What size monitors do you have?
I went out for the Acer 23-inch dual LCD screens.
I got dual 22s.
I'm a .NET developer, so I like to have lots of workspace. The new Visual Studio is just amazing. So.
Yeah. All right, but what's your question?
The question is, the computer I got a Gigabyte motherboard, and all my audio files were like, yeah, it's a great motherboard, but now you have to use Realtek Audio, and so you get a new audio card.
Right.
And so I've noticed with some sounds, I get this sort of popping right before the sound is playing. And I was wondering if you guys have experienced that with Realtek. Is this just kind of a common thing? And is it worth it to just go out and buy an audio card just to, you know?
Yes. If you're really interested in audio, the built-in sound is direct. You really, on any motherboard, I've never found a motherboard that actually had decent sound. I mean, no, that's wrong. I found motherboards with decent sound if you're not really, you know, an audiophile.
Into sound, yeah.
But if you want good sound, you need to go out and buy yourself a good audio card. Then go into the BIOS and deactivate the built-in sound card.
Okay.
And then, you know, turn the machine back on after you've installed the card, and it'll recognize it and ask for the drivers and all the yada yada. And you should be good to go. The most important thing to do before you do any of that is check to make sure that whatever sound card you have has Windows 7 specific drivers.
Okay.
But yeah, if you're actually interested in good sound, you're going to need a separate sound card.
Okay. Yeah, my friends are telling me to get like a Turtle Bay or something like that.
Turtle Bay, very nice.
You can, you know.
Yep.
Sound Blaster, RG2 are good.
There's a bunch of good ones. Check them out. Make sure you get one with Win 7 yeah. Windows 7 drivers.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Well, thank you for calling from Maryland. Like we said, please pass on the word that, you know.
Yeah, your job now is to tell all your friends to listen to the show every week and call in.
I will do that. Thanks, guys.
You're on a mission now, John.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks.
That's cool.
That is cool. We're getting out there, man. We're getting out
Fellow
there.
Harley writer, too.
See, there you
He's
go.
He's got to be a good guy.
Well, he doesn't have to be, but he probably really is.
He is.
I don't doubt that. I didn't say he wasn't. All right. We got time for a...
Still got to figure out how to get here, carry a cup of coffee, and not have it spill all over the bike.
Yeah, and the bike, yeah, right.
More
right,
cup
right.
holders.
Right.
You want to die, don't you?
Yeah.
If I can get one of those mugs, I did fill. One night I did manage to get a milkshake home, because those have the lids that you know don't have the open. And in my tour pack, I got this one area where I can put a cup. But coffee mugs, like on this one that I've got now, they have the stupid tops open. What happened to the coffee mugs that you could sit there and have the little thing that closes? Because if I could get right. that, then I could sit there and transport and ride the bike.
Well, I will say that the world famous Flower City Coffee
yes.
Company does have lids that with a closure thing on them already.
Oh, you can bring me.
Actually, what you want to do is get yourself one of those ceramic mugs, pour it into that, toss the cup, or have them fill that cup specifically. And many of them have a lid or whatever on it, and then you don't have to worry about
now,
that.
Now I know a mission.
That's your mission.
I really miss riding the bike because I can throw the tripod and I can throw the camera in the back tour pack. That's no problem. And then that'll all fit in the bike,
right?
It's just your coffee cup. Won't.
Your gas cap is on the top of the tank, right?
It's on an angle.
Oh, because you can't just shove the cup in there.
No.
And that's why Steve doesn't ride a bike.
Yeah.
All right. And besides which, when the coffee slops up, it's a styrofoam. When the gas slops up, it's a styrofoam cup. It'll start to
yeah,
melt.
Yeah, start
then
eating
you
it.
Get coffee.
Then you have to drive faster.
Then you get cut. Yeah.
And then it sloshes more.
All right. The U.S. Department of Justice has opened an antitrust investigation into Apple's digital music business. According to several reports Tuesday that cited unnamed sources. The probe is in the early stages, the New York Times said in a story published on its website. But Department of Justice investigators have already spoken to major recording labels and online music firms about Apple's business practices. Other reports by the Wall Street Journal and CNET said that unidentified industry sources had corroborated the New York Times story. According to all three reports, the Department of Justice's questions may not lead to a formal inquiry, but they are meant to determine whether further investigation into complaints is warranted. Those complaints stem from pressure Apple allegedly put on music labels to pull their support of an Amazon Music promotion that gave the online retailer, which also sells digital music, excessive and exclusive access to new tracks. Dubbed the MP3 Daily Deal, the promotion surfaced in March as a bone of contention between Apple and the large recording labels, according to a story that month in music industry trade magazine Billboard. Apple already faces one reported antitrust investigation. Earlier this month, the New York Post said that the Department of Justice and the Federal Trade Commission were looking into charges by Adobe over Apple's decision in April to ban cross-platform compilers, including the one packaged with Adobe's Flash Professional CS5, from being used to craft software for the iPhone and the iPad. Antitrust experts, however, said that any potential action by either agency was guaranteed to fail because Apple does not have a lock on the mobile market. The situation in music, however, is different. There, Apple's iTunes is the dominant player and accounts for almost 70% of all digital sales, according to the most recent data from market research company NPD Group. Apple has had to defend itself against antitrust charges in civil court in the past, most notably in 2008, when Doral, Florida-based Mac clone maker SciStar Corporation failed to convince a federal judge that Apple had a monopoly in hardware able to run the Mac OS X operating system. That SciStar was a bunch of idiots if they couldn't make a judge believe that. The Cupertino, California-based computer maker has also faced antitrust allegations in Europe, where regulators successfully pressured Apple to lower iTunes pricing in the UK to match what it charged customers in 16 other European countries. In return, the EU ended its antitrust investigation. So our question to you is, have you ever bought an MP3 from anywhere but iTunes? Not downloaded for free or stolen, but bought. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415 and let us know.
And it's interesting that because a lot of companies make exclusive deals with different retailers, and no one has cared until now. So Apple.
Well, what this is about is that Amazon made an exclusive deal, and Apple got it squashed.
Yeah.
That's what this is about. It's a whole. It's the whole other side of the coin.
Yep.
It has nothing to do with the exclusive deal Apple's made. It's Apple stepping in and killing an exclusive deal that Amazon made.
And for the longest time, Amazon and other MP3 stores all had unencumbered tracks, and Apple was the last holdout that couldn't get unprotected music from the record companies. So
right.
The record companies are fighting back against Apple's power.
Well, and I suppose that's good for them. You know, they. You know, selling tracks for 99 cents is nice, but if they want to sell them for a little more, they should be allowed to do that, and et cetera, et cetera. But all right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back at the other side of the hour with Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. We want each and every one of you to be listening in and calling in and joining us on the IRC chat and on Twitter and watching on Ustream and all of that other stuff. We'll be back in just a couple of moments with a whole lot more sound bites right here on the truly great member supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Sound Bites, celebrating 20 years.
For the millions living with COPD, breathing becomes a real struggle. COPD is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. You may have heard of it as chronic bronchitis or emphysema. Over time, you feel like you're breathing through a straw. It's the fourth leading cause of death in the U.S., and it took my grandmother. If you're over 35 and have ever smoked, you could be at risk. Good news is, you can improve your symptoms. I'm Danica Patrick, and I drive for COPD. Join the movement at driveforcopd.com. Take our screening questionnaire today and talk to your doctor.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District and official media partner of the 2010 Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
The itsy bitsy spider.
Household pests are familiar subjects in childhood songs and nursery rhymes, but they can also pose serious threats to our health and property. Dealing with these threats may not be as easy as ABC, but it can be as easy as IPM. Integrated Pest Management employs common sense and sound solutions to treat and control pests. To learn more, visit whatisipm.org, a public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
They came from every corner of the country, from small towns and big cities, but they all shared one thing in common. They belonged to a family called Marines. A tough and determined few, dedicated to protecting everything we hold sacred. And still, they come. Celebrate the history of those proud few who have earned the title Marine.
If you own or run a business, consider promoting your business on Jazz 90.1 through underwriting. When you underwrite the programming on Jazz 90.1, you join with our members in supporting great jazz radio. With a few tasteful statements about your business, thousands of Jazz 90.1 listeners will know who you are, how to reach you, and that you care about great jazz programming. Underwriting is easy and very reasonable. It's good business to do business with Jazz 90.1. For more information on our great underwriting packages, please contact Station Manager Rob Linton at 585-966-2660. That's 966-2660 or email sales@jazz901.org.
When you like the music you hear on Jazz 90.1, you want it to continue to be there for you the next time you tune in. And that's exactly what happens when listeners become members of Jazz 90.1. Membership ensures that Jazz 90.1 can continue to bring you the jazz you love. You might even call membership a kind of music insurance. So if you enjoy the music on Jazz 90.1, make it a policy to become a member or renew your membership by calling 966-5299.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we are hurtling ourselves headlong into the second hour.
And that's the famous Harry Lake.
That was the famous Harry Lake.
And he just called me. I was wondering, what? Because usually you'll call and say, Dave, I got a problem. He goes, no, just called to see how I was doing. We needed any more spots done, you know, and it's like, cool.
That's very nice. Yeah, that's very, very nice.
Doing good. Worried about, you know, how we're doing with the show and that. Everybody's still hearing your Delta tones all over the place. Matter of fact, he's cut a number of big spots that you'll be hearing the Legmon.
Excellent. All right, our next caller is Lewis. Where are you calling from, Lewis?
Rochester.
And what can we do for you?
Oh, you were asking about buying MP3s. We've been buying them from Amazon, and it's worked out quite nicely for us.
Excellent. And you're enjoying them from there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, basically, I've kind of given up on trying to chase down compilations and things like that and music stores. We've been just looking for the specific tracks and then just, burning them to a CD and then just chuck them into the CD player.
Yep.
And a lot of the artists don't like that. There was a lot of backlash against iTunes when it first came out. Pink Floyd was one of the big ones, where an album is considered one piece of music, and Apple wanted to sell things by the track. And so a lot of the early bands wouldn't sell in the iTunes store because they didn't want it available by track.
Well,
people want to buy tracks.
People want to buy tracks. And more importantly, with a lot of artists, an album contains one good song and these days only 9 other lousy songs. So what people want is, you know, I don't want to spend $15 for one song. I'll just buy the one song for 99 cents or, you know, $1.25 or whatever it all ends up being. So. That's been the deal with that, and I don't know that there's going to be any pleasant resolution between them.
Yeah,
you know, the music industry and the MP3 player or seller people.
It's a little frightening how many stores have gone out of business. Microsoft's music store is gone, and
well, that's no surprise.
Well, and if you bought,
they'd mess up a free lunch.
Yeah. If you bought this,
I've been to some of their events. They have messed up free lunches.
This is their Plays for Sure promotion, where it would guarantee that the song you bought would play on any device. Microsoft canceled that whole product, and now the songs you bought won't play on any device.
Right, and a lot of their songs were Zune only. And for the two people I know who bought a Zune, hi Lee, they have those songs, but now most of them don't play anymore.
Walmart shut down their online store, and songs you bought from them won't play anymore unless you burned them to CD.
And what's interesting is if you're using a non-standard, I guess, operating system like Linux, you know, you can't use iTunes.
Yeah. Yep. Well, actually, my wife refuses to use iTunes because she doesn't want to have to install another program in her computer just to go get songs.
Exactly.
So that's one of the reasons why we've been buying from Amazon, is because you can just buy them and download them.
But she didn't want to come on the phone and tell that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know who this is, but it's not the person that called.
Oh, I see. The person who called is the...
Yeah, that was my wife, Julie.
Yeah,
the,
she called.
And the better half, and
yeah,
now...
I know who this individual is.
Hello. But you do, don't you?
But yes, I do, sir.
But that's the thing. There are a whole bunch of people who are not... Whether or not you could purchase from iTunes, there are a whole lot of people who are not fans of iTunes and don't want that extra software in their machine, don't want it constantly doing whatever it's doing in the background, particularly if you're running a lower-end machine like a netbook or whatever. You really don't want that thing there. So being able to just open up your browser and purchase a song makes a lot of sense to those people.
Yep. But I just did a search at Amazon for Amazon exclusives, and there's 644 Amazon exclusive MP3 tracks.
Mm-hmm.
So Apparently, Apple hasn't squashed it completely yet.
Well, they just
the FTC is looking into it.
I believe the FTC has blocked any takedown.
Well, there's Walmart exclusives and there's Target exclusives too.
The point is not who gets exclusives.
That they all are. Apple take on Walmart.
Yeah, the idea is not who gets exclusive. The idea is that Apple thought they were powerful enough to stop other people from having exclusives.
Yep.
And do you see the MP3 deal of the day in there?
No.
Right.
That
that's
one's gone.
That's what the suit is about.
Yep.
Not do you have exclusive tracks. Do you have the MP3 deal of the day? And they don't. So that's the deal. Yeah, Amazon has an extensive selection of songs. A lot of it's exclusive. That's why a lot of people buy from both, right? Because, you know, they don't want to miss any of the music they like. And if you can only exclusively get it in one place or the other, they'll go for it. All right. Thank you, Lewis.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it. And tell your wife, call herself next time.
Like I say, I know who that was, and I won't bust him for...
No, when mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And if mama says, here, you take the phone, then you take the phone. That's how that works.
Okay.
You know that. All right.
I'm not arguing.
That's right. All right, here we go. 2 years after fixing a security bug. Oh, it seems to be dump on Apple Day. 2 years after fixing a security bug in the Windows version of its Safari browser, Apple apparently has decided that Mac users can go without the fix. Apple was initially unimpressed by Nitesh Dhanjani's work. I apologize, I'm Italian. Developing what's known as a carpet bomb attack. He's a security researcher. He said he told Apple about it 2 years ago. They responded back saying it was more of an annoyance than anything else. That turned out to be wrong. Soon after Dhanjani went public with the flaw in May 2008, another security researcher showed how carpet bombing could be combined with another Windows attack to run unauthorized software on a Windows PC. Apple then shipped a fix for Safari for Windows, but not for Safari on Mac OS X. Nobody's yet actually shown how to do this on the Mac OS X platform, but Dhanjani says that Apple should still fix the problem. It's possible to do it, it's just that nobody's bothered to do it yet. In a carpet bomb attack, the victim visits a malicious website, which then starts downloading unauthorized files to the victim's computer without any sort of approval. While most sane web browsers warn the end user and ask for explicit permission before saving a file locally, Safari goes ahead and saves the file in the default download location without asking the user, even if hundreds of files are served up by the malicious website simultaneously. Without conducting another attack, hackers still have no way to run the files on the victim's computer, but those unauthorized downloads still represent a security risk, Dhanjani said. In this day and age, the site shouldn't be able to drop anything it wants into my downloads folder. How many people do you know find something they don't remember in their downloads folder and just click on it? Certainly could be. Absolutely. A lot of people.
On the Mac, it does warn you when you're going to open it that this was downloaded from the internet and you're sure you want to open it. So it warns you afterwards.
And everybody clicks yes because they figure, of course, it downloaded from the internet. It's in my download folder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so our question to you, do you think it's okay that Safari lets any site drop any files it likes on your computer without your knowledge? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
And you should go into your Safari preferences and uncheck the open safe files after downloading, because there are a lot of bad things that hide into safe files.
Right, right. And it's a real issue. I get that everybody wants it to be easy, but easy doesn't cut it anymore. We're really kind of at the point where people have to be more careful.
Of course, on the other side, if it did ask you every time you wanted to download something, you would eventually just start clicking OK anyway.
Well, except
I clicked on that. I want to download it.
Yeah, except that if you didn't click on anything,
right,
and it came up and said, are you sure you want to download
especially
this?
Especially in a carpet bomb attack where it's again and again and again and again.
Right. You might start thinking no.
Yeah.
You know, so or the fact that automatic downloads, you should be able to say no to automatic downloads. Now, or at least ask me about automatic downloads. If I don't, if I click on something, go ahead and download it. Mm-hmm. If I didn't click on it, every once in a while you'll find maybe a font file that's been embedded into a web page. Actually, that's happening more and more. So then you would have to download that. But once it's downloaded, then it's there. You've got access to it. So
it's also taking up more space, more resources.
More space and more resources. That's certainly a lot less of a problem than it used to be, considering you know, hard drives are so large nowadays. And it's there's always been this dichotomy between what's normal on the web and what really looks good on the web. And real designers want different fonts and want to be able to create a different look and everything else. So the ability to embed a font so that I can create a font or find a font that I want and get you to download it and run it means that my web page looks unique, right? I don't look like everybody else's web page. But the problem with that is, what if it's not really a font file? What if it's really something malicious? So it's an interesting problem, and I don't know that there's a real easy answer for any of that stuff. All right.
Don't download anything and allow no plugins. That's
right.
The iPad model.
Exactly.
Making it safe for grandma to surf the internet.
And none of that stinking flash. All right. We're.
Did you see Google this the Google I/O and how much they were pleasing Adobe?
Who is this?
The Google I/O this week. We were talking about how great Flash is on the Android platform, and we really love open stuff. And all the commentators are saying, well, Flash isn't open.
No,
but
it isn't.
But it runs on Android because it doesn't on the iPod.
Right. Oh, nobody ever said Apple or Google was the brightest bulb in the
bunch
on Broadway either. So, all right. Here's a question. We also take questions at Soundbites. So, email questions. This one's from Dale from Rochester, New York. And the question is, my desktop and laptop are connected through my router so I can transfer files one from the other. How do I temporarily disable networking between two computers and restore it again later? My laptop is connected to the router by wireless. My desktop is connected to the router by Ethernet. I can see both computers under view network computers, view work group computers after going to my network places, but there's nothing I can find for temporarily severing the connection between the computers. I could just pop out the wireless card out of the laptop or unplug the cable from the desktop, but I want to still be able to go on the internet with both machines. I just don't want them talking to each other. The reason for this is that if I'm on the internet and one computer gets infected, I don't want it to be able to transfer to the other machine. It's actually a good question.
That's two separate questions. If you don't want them talking to each other, turn off file sharing.
Yep.
However, a lot of malicious software has its own file sharing type stuff built in and will attack anything on your network. So the catch-22 is, if you want it disconnected from the network, disconnect it from the network. But if you want to get on the internet, it has to be connected to the network. But if you turn off file sharing, then they cannot share files between the two. But that was, what was that, the CIRCAM virus? Years ago, it was like 20K, and it had a mail server built into it.
Yeah.
So it didn't need your mail program running. It had its own mail server.
Yeah, and it sit there and just spread across the whole network.
It was 20K.
Yeah.
It's a really good programmer. I wonder where he is now.
Yeah, exactly. He's probably working
probably
for the
doing 20 to life.
Somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what it comes down to, Dale. I'm afraid that you can do that. You can disconnect them. But that doesn't mean you can stop them from talking to each other, but that doesn't mean that they won't be able to continue to make some sort of connection with each other.
One of the things you can do is there's some, well, they've talked about this on the Security Now podcast with Steve Gibson, is you can get three routers. And then so one router splits your internet signal, and each of the other two routers makes its own private network.
Right.
So computers connected to those two routers cannot see each other because they're on completely different networks.
Right, and that's possible to do, and that's about the only way to do it safely.
There is a feature in Apple's AirPort Extreme router that has a guest networking in it. The single router itself will create two completely separate networks that cannot talk to each other. The intent is that you have your private network where you're sharing all of your stuff with yourself and all of your own computers. And then when you have guests over to the house, they want to be on the internet, so there's a second network for them. So the AirPort Extreme router has that feature built in. So computers on either network cannot see the other network.
Right. Oh, did I tell you about this last week at Google I/O? Speaking of which, they talked about Android 2.2 operating system Froyo, and how it will allow tethering through your 3G signal.
Mm-hmm.
And they demonstrated that by tethering to an iPad, which I thought was very, very funny, since Apple won't allow it.
No, Apple allows it. The iPhone does tethering. AT&T will not allow
it. Right.
So the iPhone OS does tethering and has done tethering for over a year.
Right.
And here in America, it's AT&T. Everywhere else in the world, it tethers just fine because those providers let it happen.
Right. And that's, well, I don't know. Didn't they just renew the contract with AT&T?
There's a lot of going back and forth about that because there's more and more rumors about Verizon getting an iPhone. And then someone found a rumor that said Sprint was getting one too. And one of the rumors is that since they gave the iPad to AT&T, then the next iPhone may work on Verizon. So they're trying to share it across the different companies. But again, exclusive phone deals to carriers are not uncommon either.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. We'll see. It'll be interesting. What I think we're seeing is the same thing that Apple has in every other medium playing itself back out in phones and pads, which is that they make a fairly closed product.
They had a 3-year lead with the iPhone on what a smartphone is now becoming from every other company.
They create a fairly closed product that innovates a brand new market. And then other companies come in and fill it up. And then they create the next new one. And then other people fill that up. And so we saw that with higher-end computers. We saw that with the iPod. We see that with the iPhone. We're seeing that with the iPad. So it's just going to continue, I think, to play itself out. It'll be interesting to see what happens. All right, we're going to take a break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. We are the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Have you been wanting a Jazz 90.1 long or short sleeve t-shirt, half-zip fleece, or hooded sweatshirt? The dark navy color with white logo is good-looking and tasteful. And you can find them all at the Jazz 90.1 online store at jazz901.org. Wearing Jazz 90.1 apparel makes it easy to let the world know that jazz is your music and Jazz 90.1 is your station for jazz. There's also a navy Jazz 90.1 baseball cap to complete the look. You know, you might find just exactly what you want when you check out the Jazz 90.1 online store at jazz901.org.
Celebrating 20 years on air, Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members and Agape Physical Therapy. Agape Physical Therapy offers aquatic therapy at their Brockport location, the Gates Chalet Hidden Valley Pool, and the Webster Aquatic Center. Using the Brudenco method of using water as physical therapy, Agape provides shallow and deep water exercise areas for partial and non-weight-bearing activities. Agape Physical Therapy's experienced staff offers constant care in treating the young and the young at heart, non-athletes and athletes. For more information about Agape Physical Therapy, you may call 637-0790 or visit agapephysicaltherapy.com.
Hi, I'm Melanie Bloom, National Spokesperson for the Coalition to Prevent DVT. Deep vein thrombosis, or DVT, is a blood clot usually found in your leg that can break loose and travel to your lungs. Last year, approximately 300,000 people died from DVT-related complications. My husband, David Bloom, was one of them. Talk to your doctor about your risk for DVT. Visit PreventDVT.org.
A message from the Coalition to Prevent DVT, funded by Sanofi Aventis U.S.
If you dig swinging big bands, Jazz 90.1 has got an afternoon for you. Presenting the broadcast of the complete Jazz Heritage Series, featuring the United States Air Force's Airmen of Note Big Band, with guests New York Voices in the first hour, Joey DeFrancesco in the second hour, and Gary Smullyan in the third. No matter where you are, don't miss these outstanding jazz broadcasts.
Memorial Day, Monday, May 31st from noon until 3 p.m. Only on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hello, this is Joelle Van Buren. Join me weekday mornings from 6 till 10 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Let's see if we can have a... Here's one that bashes Google instead of bashing Apple. Congratulations. Google rebuffed a request from German data protection officials to hand over data it mistakenly collected as part of Street View imagery. Google had until midnight Wednesday to turn over a hard drive from one of the vehicles collecting the data to Hamburg's Data Protection Agency. They told us yesterday that they refused to give the hard drive because they are afraid it could breach German telecommunication law, said Johannes Kasper, who heads the Data Protection Agency, on Thursday. Kasper said he spoke with Hamburg's prosecutor, who said they would not prosecute if Google turned over information to the agency. Google has been informed of that opinion, he said. A Google spokes individual in London said the company wants to comply with the request, but granting access to payload data creates legal challenges in Germany, which we need to review. We are continuing to discuss the appropriate legal and logistical process for making the data available. We hope, given more time, to be able to resolve this difficult issue. Google could potentially face a 50,000 euro fine, which is about $61,000 U.S., for not turning over the hard drive, Kasper said, but the agency plans to have continuing discussions with Google over the next week. Google has agreed to let experts from the agency examine one of the vehicles used to collect Street View images, as well as the original software that was engineered to collect traffic from non-password-protected Wi-Fi networks. The data gathered include information such as SSID and the MAC address, service set identifier, and the media access control addresses. Google initially said it was not collecting data after Hamburg's DPA requested an audit. However, Google acknowledged that it had, in fact, collected data. The company said an engineer had written some code for an experimental Wi-Fi product, a project that sampled payload data for publicly broadcast Wi-Fi networks. That code ended up in the software used in the Google Street View cars, which collected images of street scenes for Google's Maps application. Since then, data protection... Stuff happens, Dad. Since then, data protection officials throughout the world have undertaken investigations, including Italy, France, and Spain. Ireland and the UK said they would not take action if Google deleted the data. In the U.S., Galaxy Internet Services, an ISP for homes and businesses in Massachusetts, filed a class action lawsuit against Google on Tuesday over the program. So our question for you, should Google have collected those data? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, 966-5299, or of course, toll free, 1-800-790-0415. That toll free number is for all of you folks in Rockville, Maryland, that John is telling him about the show right now, and you're all just beginning to tune in.
I text Jim my answer as far as the dump button.
I'm sure that whatever that answer was, it was something that I wouldn't personally put over an airwave. But that's,
oh, yeah.
That's
no, it was perfectly legit. I agree.
And
I have three words for you. The first is no, and the last is way. Go ahead. What?
The Google issue. You know, collecting this data, it's data that your router is broadcasting in the clear if you haven't turned on encryption. Even with encryption on, the SSID and MAC address are there, and that's how you connect to your network.
Right.
So it's like recording a radio station that happens to be broadcasting through the air. And it's interesting to see what's going to happen, because we've been saying for years you should encrypt your Wi-Fi router. Because you don't want people getting into your stuff. And if you broadcast it out, do you have a right to complain when someone listens in?
Mm-hmm. Well, I am on the side of that says that if you use my wireless to get to the internet, it's like, I just walked into your house. The door was unlocked. I don't care if the door is unlocked. I still own a shotgun. I don't have to lock my door. I have a shotgun. but if my wireless is unprotected and I'm spewing this stuff out into the air, that's a somewhat grayer area.
Big time.
You know, we've talked before about programs that let you pull all the data that's being broadcast in the clear out of the air and compiling it onto your machine so you can see what other people are doing. That's just something that's out there. And if you're broadcasting wirelessly, if you have a wireless system, then maybe you should be aware of that and aware that your laptop is a wireless system. It's a radio. And so if you don't have an encrypted connection to a wireless signal, I can suck all your data out, including your passwords and everything else that you send in the clear. So you all need to remember to be very careful. And if you have a system at home, you have to read up on how to protect it, whether it's WPA or WEP. WEP is not that good, but it's certainly better than nothing. And how to protect it and how to set it up and how to get it running and making sure that all of your systems are properly connected and properly protected.
And remember that when you go to an open Wi-Fi hotspot at a coffee shop or bookstore or whatnot, you are sharing the connection with everybody else sitting there, and there may be someone with malicious intent sitting there doing something.
That's why.
And even if it's a protected hotspot, like you go to a bar and they give you a password, they've given that password to who knows how many other patrons.
Yeah.
So it's right. It's as if there's no password.
Right. And the same is true, for example, if you go to Gmail. How long did it take Google to say, oh, yeah, you can now HTTPS into Gmail? Mm-hmm. Well, duh!
Mm-hmm. Should have been like that a long time ago.
Should have been that like yeah, that from the very beginning, thank you.
Canandaigua National Bank finally did that. That's my bank. It's one of the only local banks left. And they finally...
National Bank is your local bank?
Canandaigua National Bank.
Okay, CNB.
Canandaigua, yeah.
Love CNB.
They finally now have encrypted their homepage. They had on their unencrypted homepage, they had a secure sign-in button. And a big thing, you know, notice, say, oh, this is secure. You don't have to worry about it. But it's on an unsecure page. It is not secure.
Right.
And so now they finally switch you to a secure page to log in.
Right. You know, for some, you know, I suppose for some people it's not that important, and particularly if you use a different password for every system when you're logging on to, I don't know, like Ask Nick or whatever, who's going to steal that one. But if it's your bank, yeah, maybe that one ought to be secure. Maybe if it's your email, that one ought to be secure. So you want to be very careful about things like that. That's just what
I can't verify the identity of AskNick.com.
Well, and that's the other part of the problem.
He's pretty sleazy.
I've been working with a couple of different people on a couple of different things. We've had some.
Your root security certificate is not trusted.
Right.
RIT.edu is not trusted.
Right. Yeah, I know. We need to. That's an RIT
You're
problem, and I can't fix that. So I'm going to probably have to move AskNick off. And I've also been having a problem with PayPal. It's making me nuts.
Well, I still got to get a hold of Jerry and still straighten out the. Just to remind folks again, if you're filling out the request for the Soundbite CD,
which two people did this week,
yeah, and you haven't gotten it or received it, please give us a call, because right now we're having some issues, and it all stems from when Jerry moved me from one server to this other one, because now instead of putting in, you know, Enright PC, I've got to put in these numbers for my mail server. It's, you know, blah, 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 blah. Not Enright PC, or mail at enrightpc.com. So I got to see what's going on with that, because we are not getting any other requests. And I know we've already verified with you. You're just forwarding them to my mail bucket.
David@enrightpc.com.
Yeah, and they're just not getting there.
Yep.
There was a episode of Security Now a few weeks ago where they were talking about these root certificates. Your web browser in your computer, by default, trusts several hundred companies to issue a security certificate, including the joke example they use is the Hong Kong Post Office. So anyone can get a security certificate from one of these companies, and your browser will automatically trust it. And they gave instructions on how to remove some of those certificates. Firefox has its own certificate list, which is independent of the operating system, which makes it a little easier to remove those. But it's become an issue that in the beginning it was only VeriSign, and when the web exploded, we needed more companies to handle that. So they started authorizing more and more companies.
And on top of that, you can self-sign, which is what we did here. And so unless you already trust me before you trust me, you're going to get an error message.
Right.
It's very weird. It's just very weird.
It's just the way it's going to go in this society nowadays. You got to be very, very cautious. Yep. And like we've said before, folks nowadays are so GD click happy. You know, I was sitting there with one client, you know, just this past week. Sitting there trying to walk them through it, and they're going, click, click, click. Wait a minute. Now go back a couple. Because, no, I didn't want you to go that way. Do you even know what you're clicking on? Well, no, I just figured I always just take and just click next. That can be dangerous.
That's really dangerous.
That's how a lot of spyware gets installed, because you just gave it permission.
Yeah,
and that's not limited to Apple to Mac to Windows people. Mac people do it. Linux people do it. Everybody does it. Everybody does it.
Nobody wants to read all that stuff.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, but sometimes now what they're doing is embedding other stuff that, oh, by clicking on this, we're also going to install this feature and this feature. And they're seeing check marks, and they just go next, 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 next. And they don't even realize that, yes, you just said opted into having these other features installed. And then they sit there and say, well, how the heck did that get in there? I didn't put it in there.
Yes.
Yes, you did when you sat there and clicked yes, 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 yes.
Yep, that's exactly right. It's a problem everywhere. Nobody reads this stuff. How many times have I installed something that was iTunes. Maybe it was Adobe, but I think it was iTunes. One of the two of them, every time I get an update, which happens like three times a week, so it must be iTunes, wants to install the Yahoo toolbar. You know what? I don't want the Yahoo toolbar.
Or the Safari. I don't care for Safari either.
Right. Apple assumes that if they make a product, you want it.
Yeah.
And so when you go to, and that's true also of iTunes. What, you want Safari too, right? No.
Yeah, I say no all the time. I don't want Safari.
You know, on the one hand, I don't really care if it's on my hard drive, but on the other hand, what the hell? I don't want it.
Why?
Don't keep telling me you're going to give it to me whether I want it or not.
You should be able to opt out of it.
Yeah, I should be, no,
there
I
is
should
a checkbox
have to opt
that says,
in.
Don't
no.
check.
No, I should have to opt in
they
rather
did,
than have
they did
to
change
opt
that.
Out.
They got into trouble for installing Safari by default. So now, if you don't have it installed already, it shows up as optional software in your update list, and you can say ignore.
No, I wanted to ignore it already.
Why do you have to ignore?
Look, here's the way security is supposed to work. The standard is deny, the exception is allow. If they do it any other way, it's unsecured, and it's. I don't think it's right.
Right.
The way it should be is no automatically. And if you want it, click yes. If I want Safari, I'm really, really, I promise you, I swear to God, I'm capable of going to their website and downloading it and installing
you
it.
You sure?
I am at
first. Are you sure?
Well, no, pretty sure. Kind of. I might.
Bring him a note from home.
I tried it once and it worked. So the point is, don't assume I'm an idiot and I really want this and I'm just too stupid to know it. And so you're going to install it for me? No. No, I don't want that.
Exactly.
And I don't care whether it's Adobe or Apple or I don't care who it is. Don't do it.
Yeah. Well, that's the way more and more of them are going nowadays. You know, they sit there and, you know, just like on renewals. If you don't call in and cancel, we're just going to continually
to charge you, right?
Yeah, to charge you. Well, wait a minute. How about doing it the other way?
It took me two solid years to get off AOL. And I'm calling them out on this one.
I remember that.
It took me 2 years to get off, and I finally got off by closing the account they were taking the money from. Then, of course, the bank calls and says, well, you're overdrawn. How can I be overdrawn? I closed the account. Well, there's an automatic payment. No, there shouldn't be. I did not authorize it. I had nothing to do with it.
That's your problem.
If you gave somebody money from an account that doesn't exist, how is that my fault?
Yeah.
So they were kind enough to say, all right, we'll stop this. Then I started getting dunning notices from AOL. You've stopped paying. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, I have. Because for 2 years, I've been sending you registered letters that say, get me off this freaking system. I don't even go to their website now. I don't want to have ever again in my life. I don't want to ever have anything to do with AOL.
Well, they had more
not
tricks
ever.
Now. But tell you what, we'll just continue on for three more months, and then if you really want, we won't charge you. And if you want to, then you can call and cancel.
It's the customer retention.
It was trying to get the folks
agent.
You know, forget.
Yeah, you don't want to cancel. Let's talk you into keeping on. We'll give you some free time. We'll give you this.
Well, what finally made them go away is that. My lawyer called their lawyers and said, if you look, you've got probably 8 or 9 registered letters that you say you received that I sent, not me, Nick, the lawyer, that I sent that said this person wants off. So if you want to go to court, we'll be happy to do that because we've got all the receipts.
Yep.
And the lawyer said, well, that probably won't really be necessary. No, I should hope not.
Yeah, really? Hello.
My wife got sucked in by one of those magazine offers. You get 10 magazines for a buck, and then in six months or whenever it is, they automatically debit your account $40 per magazine per issue because obviously you want to subscribe to these magazines.
Right.
And she was shocked that they did that.
Well, many people are.
I've been telling her all along, don't sign up for that crap on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yep. And how many people sign up for go to the coupon sites?
Yeah.
All you have to do is give us your name, your email address, and your credit card number, and we'll send you coupons.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Is that all? Okay.
Yep.
Would you like my dog's name, too, and anything else you want? I don't care.
And thank you for subscribing to our coupon service at $80 a month.
Right. You just have to be less naive.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well, if I read it in the paper, it must be true. Well, if I saw it on the internet, it must be legit. No.
Yep.
No.
Just the opposite.
Right. The internet is just another way to scam you. So you need to be more careful. And everybody. Oh, and let's go back to this. Snopes.com. Snopes.com. Please, I beg of you. I beg of each and every one of you. Please. Before you start forwarding to me any more emails, do me a favor and go to Snopes.com and find out how utterly untrue it is. Please.
Why? What are they saying?
Oh, my golly. Everything. Everything. People are sending me stuff all the time. And I used to send them back a link to Snopes where they showed how it wasn't true.
Fraud. Well, that I used to do that and I'd get answers back. Oh, just in case it was true, I wanted to let you know.
Right. Yeah. No, thank you. I already know it's
not
true.
Don't do me the favor. Yep. Right.
One of the latest ones going around again is the family member in distress.
Right.
Some distant cousin calls, and I'm stuck at the Toronto airport. I need $5,000 to get back in the country. Okay, here.
Yeah, right. Right. I don't have any distant relatives overseas, and so, no, you're not going to get anything from
me. They can stay there.
Right. All right, we're going to take another break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Look, you know who we are. And we're right here on the great member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This is Station Manager Rob Linton. Do you have a comment or suggestion for Jazz 90.1? Call our feedback phone today at 966-2407. That's 966-2407. Be heard at Jazz 90.1.
America's longest-running computer show, Sound Bites, celebrating 20 years.
Jazz 90.1 is your one source of information for the annual Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival, June 11th through 19th. Join Jazz 90.1 as we broadcast live each day from Jazz Street in downtown Rochester, just outside of Kilbourne Hall, between 5 and 9 p.m.
And we are live in downtown Rochester at the Rochester International Jazz Festival. I'm Rob Linton.
We'll have live artist interviews, giveaways, commentary, and much more. Jazz 90.1's Rob Linton, Derek Lucas, and Ed Trefsker bring you the most in-depth coverage of the RIJF each year, live from Jazz Street.
I'd like to ask Mr. Harold Danko to stop on over.
My name's Donto James.
Donto James.
You can also stop by the Jazz 90.1 booth to meet air personalities from your favorite Jazz 90.1 programs and register to win great prizes.
We're inviting folks to stop by. We have somebody who stopped by to become a member. We've had folks dropping in dollars to the Jazz Jar.
We'll see you on Jazz Street.
What could be more devastating than something that affects your face? Rosacea mars the appearance of more than 16 million Americans, usually after age 30. Without treatment, it could inflict serious physical damage, such as excess tissue and reduced vision. So don't ignore the signs of rosacea: facial redness, bumps and pimples, visible blood vessels, or irritated eyes. With any one of these signs, see a dermatologist or visit the National Rosacea Society website, rosacea.org.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside. The Radisson Hotel is located along the Genesee River in downtown Rochester, adjacent to the Riverside Convention Center. They offer standard rooms and suites, a heated outdoor pool, sauna, fitness center, and wireless internet access. The Radisson Hotel is also within walking distance to all of the Rochester International Jazz Festival concert venues. For more information, rates, and to make reservations, you may visit www.radisson.com or call 546-6400.
Hi, this is Charles Benoit. Join me and the entire Smart Set tonight from 5 to 6 right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, so this little red light means that my mic is on? Is that what that's about?
Usually does.
Luckily, all I said was, hi, Charles, after he said, hi, I'm Charles Benoit.
And Dave usually says, get ready, too.
I did.
You were ready.
I was ready. I was ready to say hi to Charles. I didn't realize that we were doing a show at the same time. But here we are, and it is 44 minutes after the hour. And we're Sound Bites, and
usually flows like that. You know, I mean, we're coming up on a year. I'm not panicking on the board anymore.
Well, exactly.
We got a pretty down.
Smooth. You know, I miss those days.
Oh,
you got your exercise, buddy boy.
Oh, that is. Like I say, the one thing that tweaked me out was that. Well, two times. The first time Rob ever logged in,
right,
and didn't tell me. It's like, holy, I didn't touch anything, and I'm seeing these screens moving, and things are going down. Because basically, folks, if you could see into the studio, when I'm running the board, I've got two screens that I literally watch. The one in the middle is not important. It's a Mac. But the main two on the other ones is what I use.
That Mac used to run this station. All the music was on that Mac.
Used to. Operative word. Used to.
Where's this new computer system that...
Oh, it's already on there.
It's on there.
It's up there, and it's in the back, I guess.
Yep. So anyways, I got two screens, and I'm usually watching because one I play stuff, and then the other I got to watch for the air traffic. And all of a sudden it goes down, and there's mouse moving all around. It's like, I didn't do it. And it was Rob, who forgot to tell me, had logged in and was changing things.
Yeah, sure. Because, you know, he can't actually take a whole day off from here.
Well, then the other time was when... The other board all of a sudden started taking off and playing music on its own. It just decided to fire off and it was messed up. And it's like, wait a minute.
I had to
pot that down and get things going. It's like, can anything else
go Don't on? Say it because it could.
Well, now I don't care. For most things, I can handle. I've already done a number of jazz programs myself, so.
All right. Acer showed off a prototype tablet device and an e-reader at a press conference in Beijing on Thursday, setting the stage for the company to push into new mobile product segments. President and CEO Gianfranco Lanci unveiled the tablet prototype. It runs Google's Android operating system, has a 7-inch display and a keypad. Acer didn't reveal when the tablet would be released or how much it would cost. Acer's Lumi Read, L-U-M-I Read, is closer to market. The e-reader weighs a tad over 10 ounces, has a 6-inch e-ink display, a barcode scanner that can read ISBN numbers from physical books and let you search online bookstores or make wish lists, which is actually pretty cool. It can connect to Wi-Fi and 3G networks. It has an internet browser, the ability to convert web content into an e-book format. It will also share e-books and audiobooks with other Acer devices and computers through the company's new ClearFi system, which is based on the Digital Living Network Alliance home networking standard. Next week, Acer will name the company that developed the browser that will be used in the Lumi Read, according to Tricia Pan, senior product marketing manager at Acer. The browser, which Acer customized, will not be Google's Chrome OS, she said. Chrome OS is not a browser. The Luma Read is less than half an inch thick, has 2 gig of internal memory, which is enough to hold about 1,500 books, and a micro SD slot for additional memory, according to Acer. Users will be able to purchase and download ebooks from several companies. Acer has signed agreements to make content available from Barnes & Noble in the U.S., Libri.de in Germany. Books will be available from the Chinese IT company Founder Group, which owns a list of 600,000 ebooks. The company is also negotiating with French and Italian content providers. Luma Read includes a feature called Smart Download that allows users to select an area of a web page, the text of a news article, rather than the surrounding advertisements, for example, and convert the HTML into an ebook that can be read offline. Acer estimated the battery life of the Luma Read at 7,000 to 8,000 consecutive page turns, or 2 weeks in standby mode. The device is due to reach U.S. stores during the third quarter of this year and will go on sale in China and Germany during the fourth quarter. The company did not disclose pricing for the e-reader. I am announcing right now that anybody from Acer who's listening should really just send me one. Ready for your next e-reader? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Of course, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. Just like George did. Where are you calling from, George?
Calling from Greece.
And how are things in Greece?
Warm, a little breeze.
I was just thinking, it's George in the other room, and it could be still.
It could still be George, yeah, exactly.
He's just trying to bail you out.
Yeah, exactly. What's the story, George?
I had a situation with a pointer or cursor that wouldn't move on a laptop. And, in fact, I took this into Dave's business, and it was fixed, but Dave wasn't there when I picked it up. So maybe he can describe, if he can remember, he can describe what it is that went wrong and what I might have done or other users that have a similar experience. Well, let me also say you had an earlier call that sounded somewhat similar.
Right, that was the EPC, right.
In my case, the cursor, I usually use a wireless mouse. It wouldn't work with that, and it wouldn't work with the finger pad. And I found when I was rebooting, there was a brief period of a few seconds at least where the finger pad would move the cursor. But when it was
what
done,
operating system are you using?
I'm sorry?
What operating system?
Microsoft.
See, I've learned to ask that now.
Yeah, after your earlier experience there.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a Microsystem XP.
Yeah, basically on most of them, though, it's usually, like on my laptop, I can sit there and turn off that stupid mouse pad, that glide point, because it gets in the way. I like using a universal USB mouse because I can find my hand will be resting on that, and sometimes the typing will get all messed up and everything else. It moves the cursor all over the darn place. So normally I just shut that stupid thing off and use a regular USB mouse, and that's just an FN key, with another function. And in your case, it was just also loading some of the drivers. Some of the drivers had gotten corrupt as far as what to enable and disable.
Corrupt drivers then. So there wasn't anything particular that I could have done as a user.
We won't say that.
Well, say, it was not a result of any particular practice I might have.
No. It could have been one of the great updates. You know, I mean, that's one of the things. Folks will sit there and say, I really didn't do anything. You know, I did the normal updates. Sometimes the Microsoft updates can be your worst enemy, and they can, you know, cause more issues than you can shake a stick at.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's one of those gambles.
And you know what? That it would work for a brief period while rebooting, yeah. Does that tell us anything?
That's one of two things. When Windows boots, it has its own internal mouse driver.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And that may have been fine, and then the corrupted one took over that, you know, theoretically is better for your mouse, right? Because it's from the company. That one took over, and that one was corrupted, and so it screwed up.
So if I understand, there's three drivers involved. There's the Microsoft. Then there is that which is in the manufacturer, in this case Lenovo, and then there would be the driver for my wireless mouse.
Right.
Okay, good. Well, thank you. I hope that helps some of the other listeners, too.
Sure, thank you, sir.
You.
Yep, bye.
You know what I really want is I want a mouse driver that says, when I have an external mouse connected, automatically disconnect the pad.
That'd be good.
And when I don't have an external mouse connected, run the pad. Then I never have to worry again. If I find myself somewhere where I need the pad, it's running automatic override. Right, it's running. And if it detects an external mouse, USB or whatever, then bang, it shuts down the internal one. That would be some great code, and I hope some open source guru who's listening gets it stuck into the Linux kernel tree. That would be best.
Mm-hmm. Not that hard either. You know, so I mean, like you say, because they do it on a number of them already. I mean, usually I can, although I don't know if it turns off the glide point.
A lot of them don't.
A lot of them, you know, will sit there, and once I hook up a USB mouse, it takes over.
Well, it certainly will run. But for example, both of them work here. So if I drop my thumb onto there while I'm doing something,
that's what I would run into mine, and I'd turn it off.
Right. So and some of them actually have a physical switch somewhere that does that, which is a good second choice. But I would still rather have the software have to remember that than the brain to have to remember that.
Yep. Yeah, the Mac has an option. It says ignore accidental trackpad input. How does it know what's accidental?
Well, and that,
that's
right.
Probably right. When I'm sitting here typing and my knuckle hits the trackpad.
Right. So I don't know. That's what I would if I were running the world, which apparently I'm not. I don't know how that happened. How did it happen that I'm not running the world?
I don't know.
My daughter wants to run the world, actually.
Share it with her.
Here's a.
What are we doing tonight, Pinky?
Same thing we do every night, Brain. No. Right.
Yeah.
No, the actual
way around. Yeah. What are we doing tonight, Brain?
Right. That's exactly right. Same thing we do every night, Pinky. I don't know if I can find that many hippos in tutus, Brain. All right. Point. This is from Chris from Rochester. Just want to say thanks for the quick posting of the podcasts. Many Saturdays I am out of town and out of reach on the radio or streaming. I enjoy listening Sundays after church to your posted podcast. Nothing quite like going from church to sound bites. Set in my ways from the old days, I listened on Sundays. Thanks for all the tips. I've called in 3 times over the years, and the advice has been right on. I love my iTouch, but going to get a 3G iPad, it seems the best price choice for internet when Wi-Fi is not available. I like the monthly option of $15 limited instead of or $30 unlimited. Verizon's USB doesn't come close to that deal. Really? Mine's $30 unlimited. Okay, whatever.
That's in the phone. If you want the MiFi standalone box, 40. It's 60.
60? Well, that's a little much. As you mentioned, the 2-year phone contract with internet amounts to about $2,500. I can have an iPad and many months of internet for that, plus all the fun apps. I'm not going to wait for the version for Verizon to get the iPhone. Keep up the nice job, guys. A faithful listener. Thank you, Chris from Rochester. We appreciate that. It's the sort of thing we like to hear because we love our listeners, and we like it when they give us a pat on the back. That's a very nice thing to see. All right, that's it. We're done. It looks like we're finished for another week. I'm sad to say that this show is over. You've wasted 2 more hours of your life listening to this show. Except those of you who are on the podcast, you're probably out actually doing things, jogging or doing some healthy thing, lying on a beach somewhere, getting a tan. Once again, let me say thank you to all of those of you who have served so ably in our armed services in protecting this great nation. Thank you so much for your service. We'll be back next week with a whole lot more of Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 55 minutes after the hour. We're the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Helping you with your computer questions for over 20 years. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.